on attaining Buddhahood in this lifetime. And I have a little foreword here. As you read through this letter, remember what I said in the foreword of this book. The mandala is represented here as the act of chanting. The invocation of our enlightened understanding and experience together to awaken our Gohonzon, our Buddha mind. If you wish to free yourself from the sufferings of birth and death you have endured since time without beginning, and to attain without fail unsurpassed enlightenment in this lifetime, you must perceive the priori truth that is originally inherent in all living beings. This truth is Myoho Renge Kyo. Chanting Myoho Renge Kyo will therefore enable you to grasp the priori truth innate in all life. That's the first paragraph of on attaining Buddhahood in this lifetime. So what does that mean? There's a lot to unpack in that, yeah? And Nichiren will do his best to endeavor to do so. But I can't, you know, I just finished the video on, what am I going to call it? Buddhahood and time, or time in Buddhism. This idea of time is throughout everything in Buddhism. And more to the point, our perception of time, our obsession with putting things in order, timelines, versus being in time, with time, part of time, momentum. I could go on and on with many videos about making this the central theme of Shakyamuni's Buddhism. Extirpate yourself from cataloging and be in it as it's happening. Wouldn't that be more life than history? It's interesting, but it's not life. It's not living. Right? This is the awakening. Be here. Look at how all of this is happening. No, I've been here. I've been there. Remember the time when, where are you? What are you doing? Are you a Sears and Roebuck catalog? Or are you living a life? This is the priori truth that Nichiren is talking about. Since time without beginning. How many times have we read that? What does that mean? It means the preoccupation with the human mind, the brain, with cataloging timelines, order, this before that, that before that. The first thing we deal with in that timeline making is this, not that. The self, no self. The early teachings of Buddhism was about how we discern differences. And then we evolve to create timelines and assemblies of those differences into some kind of, you know, sandcastle, whatever. But that ain't life. That's just footprints. Be in life. Be in time. Right? The beginning of that, unimportant, non-living, non-being here. When this started, doesn't matter. You're here now. Be here now. Be here now. Time without beginning. This is part of the process of life. Be in the process of life. The truth is Myoho Renge Kyo. Well, that's abstract as all hell, right? But if you've been studying, And you understand what is myoho rengekyo. It's not words. It's not even characters. It's the meaning of the Dharma, the teachings, the all of the words and the examples and the expedient means and the stories. Your perceptual mind, your activity of your mind. That's the truth. Can you observe the activity of your mind rather than the activity of your brain? Can you find the separation between the warehouse manager, the librarian, the put things in order, and being in time, this momentum? The speed of causality? Can you be in that speed of causality? Do you want to look at points of light, or do you want to be a photon in the light? Remember, Einstein said, time is relative. Time moves at the same speed for everyone within their point of reference. But time is in fluctuation all over the universe. Right? Time moves faster or slower depending on the size of the Earth versus the Moon. Time passes differently on the Moon than it does on the Earth. What? Right. Time is a created perception and has to do with momentum. That's myoho rengekyo. That's the law of the process of life, the engine of life. If you want to experience your life fully, then you need to get into that process of life. You need to be consciously, with determination, participating in time. But generally, people don't. That sounds like a weird statement to make. Woo-woo. But generally, the human mind is preoccupied with what the brain has sorted out. Constantly living in the past, the baggage. Where's that going to take me? Where's that going to... Well, you'll never know where that's taking you unless you look out the damn windshield. Spend all our time looking in the back seat or the trunk or the trailer. That's why we suffer. Turn around. Look at where we're going. Woo! So much new stuff. Instantiating. Potential, instantiating, manifesting, moment to moment. Wow, this is amazing, right? Does it matter that there's a spilled Coke in the back seat now? No, look where we're going. Time without beginning. Time in it. And it's innate in everything because everything is doing that momentum. That's the engine of life. The Lotus Sutra is king of all sutras. It's the ultimate. It's the final expression, how to enlighten oneself. It's true and correct in both word and principle. True in word, because it's not messing around anymore with understanding how the brain works. It's saying, here's the mind. Here's what it can do. Use it to do this, to awaken now. That's the Lotus Sutra. Its words are the ultimate reality, and this reality is the priori law, myoho. What is myoho? Yet another expression of what the Daimoku is about. myo ho conceptually is potential, myo, instantiating, ho. Myo ho. It is called the priori law because it reveals the principle of the mutually inclusive relationship of a single moment of life and all phenomena. You see it? That is why this sutra is the wisdom of all Buddhas. All Buddhas not being a bunch of little bald guys sitting around in a circle. All Buddhas are the minds of that experience. When you're in time, the timeline is irrelevant because you're just in time. In a way, it negates time itself because the moment it happens, it's the next moment. The previous one, unimportant, gone. Be in this moment, this moment, this moment. Do you see the momentum? Life at each moment encompasses the body and mind, the self and the environment of all sentient beings in the 10 worlds or realms, as well as all insentient beings in the 3,000 realms, including plants, sky, earth, and even the minutest particles of dust. Priori could be understood as energy in potential or formlessness, myo. Life at each moment permeates the entire realm of phenomena and is revealed in all phenomena. You are everything, and everything is you. No matter what form energy amalgamates into, an atom, a molecule, a wood desk, a guitar, my thick skull, it's all energy. It's in all phenomena. And it's all happening moment to moment. Myo ho, myo ho. You think about these concepts as you're chanting, or with that depth of, this is incredible what I'm doing. I am, from all potential, manifesting right now. What? Renge. Oh, I get it. Kyo. This is the endeavor of life. Kyo. Explained, described, experienced. Myo ho, myo ho, renge in my mind. Kyo. This life. Right now, happening, amazing. To be awakened to this principle is itself the mutually inclusive relationship of life at each moment and all phenomena. Nevertheless, even though you chant and have confidence in Myoho Renge Kyo, if you think the law is outside yourself, you are embracing not the priori law, but an inferior teaching. Inferior teaching means those other than this Lotus Sutra, the Myoho Renge Kyo, which are all expedient and provisional. No expedient or provisional teaching leads directly to enlightenment. You're just talking about it. When you invoke Myoho Renge Kyo, you are being it. That's the whole point. And without a direct path to enlightenment, you cannot attain Buddhahood. Even if you practice lifetime after lifetime for countless kalpas, attaining Buddhahood in this lifetime is then impossible, because all you're doing is talking about it. Right? You can watch the Olympic swimming competitions, Olympic after Olympic. You can go to the local right pool and watch people run laps. You still don't know how to swim. You can analyze it. You can go in that little room with the window underwater. You can study the physics of swimming. You can buy all the equipment. Until you get your ass in the pool, you have no idea what it is to swim. Therefore, when you chant myoho and recite renge, you must summon up deep resolve that myoho renge kyo is your life itself. And it's so clear. You must never think that any of the 80,000 sacred teachings of Shakyamuni Buddha's lifetime or any of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas of the 10 directions, all the stories, all the personages, and three existences are outside yourself. What are the three existences? That damn past, present, and future thing. They're not outside yourself. What does that mean? They're all happening right now in this moment. Forget reviewing them. That's the problem. Be here now. Your practice of the Buddhist teachings will not relieve you of the sufferings of birth and death, birth and death, birth, death, birth, death, moment, moment. In the least, unless you perceive the true nature of your life in each moment. Being. If you seek enlightenment outside yourself, if you're praying, if you're expecting somebody to bequeath your enlightenment to you, if you don't understand core, cellular level, that you are enlightenment, you just need to, wake up to that, then you're performing even 10,000 practices and 10,000 good deeds will be in vain. That's a big call to action, don't you think? It is like the case of the poor man who spends night and day counting his neighbor's wealth, but gains not even half a coin. He's busy. That is why the Tendai school's commentary states, quote, "Unless one perceives the nature of one's life, one cannot eradicate one's grave offenses." What are grave offenses in the parlance of Buddhism? Getting in your own way. Stopping yourself from perceiving the totality of your life. The potentials built into your karmic freight train to instantiate totally, magnificently, fully, without encumbrance, without attachment, without retarding into the past. This passage implies that unless one perceives the nature of one's life, one's practice will become an endless, painful austerity.
I gotta chant again. Let me go. Oh, God, I hate doing gong yo. It's so hard.
Yeah, because you're not in it. You think it's something that's going to give you your daimoku and your gong yo and your reciting and your honor and your dignity is something that comes from within your life, not from without. Our practice is training for our brain to get that point, to keep us enthused, imbued, operating within our life, not our history. Yeah.
Therefore, such students of Buddhism are condemned as non-Buddhists. They might as well quit. They're not being Buddhists. They're playing at Buddhism. There's been moments in all our lives when we caught ourselves doing that, yeah? Thank goodness we catch ourselves. Why do you think we catch ourselves? Because we've already trained that brain, that samsaric mind, to know better.
And so we redouble our efforts. Happens to all of us. Samsara is powerful. Great concentration and insight, Tendai's teaching, states that although they study Buddhism, their views are no different from those of non-Buddhists. Because people who aren't instantiating their Buddha moment to moment and training their brain to support that experience in the moment, 3,000 realms in a single thought moment, then they're just training themselves in rituals and mantras and hand positions, and it devolves into religion. Just some programmatic propaganda, be a part of, like everyone else, follow the herd. You're not being. You're part of a database. Membership. Whether you chant the Buddha's essence, Namu, I am committed, and here now going to invoke, Myoho Renge Kyo. Recite the sutra, Gangyo, or merely offer flowers and incense, all your virtuous acts, because of your intent and your attitude. Right? Light an incense. No. I provide an environment of serenity of the senses, light, candles, incense, smell, revered object, focal point, intent, attitude, it's everything. Will implant benefits and roots of goodness in your life. It's all about your intent and your attitude. And where does that come from? Your mind, your observer. With this conviction, you should strive in resolve. The Vimalakirti Sutra states that when one seeks the Buddha's emancipation in the minds of ordinary beings, one finds that ordinary beings are the entities of enlightenment, and that the sufferings of birth and death are nirvana. What do you mean, suffering is nirvana? No. The suffering, the birth and death, moment to moment, namo myoho renge kyo, birth, death, birth, death, birth, death. That in that activity with bodhisattva attitude and intent lies your opportunity for timelessness, being Buddha. That's what that means. It also states that if the minds of living beings are impure, their land is also impure. Because if you're unenlightened, if you're driven by your ignorance, you're driven by the database, the past. So how can your opportunities manifest anything other than the same old, same old? How many times have you heard yourself or anyone else say, I just keep going through this? Why do I keep meeting people like this, or having job, or why do I keep losing, or why is my life constantly repeating itself? Because you're forcing it to. You're operating your life based on what you've done before. It hasn't worked, and you're repeating it. Hello? There are not two lands. There isn't my life sucks and my life is amazing. Pure or impure in themselves, the difference lies solely in the good or evil of our minds. The database is useful for samsara, but the way you perceive your life in the moment, in the next, isn't based on that database. The database will change. It will evolve. You'll make new warehouses. They're not important. Or more to the point, they are not your life. They are your footprints. Where are you? Now? Living? In time? It is the same with a Buddha and an ordinary being. There is no difference. It's all in the mind, in perception, in experience. When deluded, one is called an ordinary being. Deluded, attached to the warehouses, the mountain, just repeating. But when enlightened, one is called a Buddha. This is similar to a tarnished mirror. Here we go with the mirror analogies, right? That will shine like a jewel when it's polished. A mind now clouded by the illusions of the innate darkness of life is like a tarnished mirror. But when polished, it is sure to become a clear mirror reflecting the essential nature of phenomena and the true aspect of reality. That mirror, mandala. The mandala isn't enlightenment. It is the mirror, the samsaric tool to reflect your Gohonzon mind. Arouse deep resolve and diligently polish your mirror day and night. How do you do that? By chanting with the mandala. How should you polish it? Only by chanting Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. What then does Myo signify? It is simply the wondrous nature of our life from moment to moment, which the mind cannot comprehend or words express. You know what? Yeah. I'm almost done. But I want to rest on that moment. Because in any other language, what he just said, myo is potential. Are you going to instantiate your potential? Or are you going to instantiate repetition? That's your choice. And you can turn this practice into repetition too. So don't do that. Keep your attitude and your intent fresh, directed, convinced, confident. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, thank you so much for your efforts, your dedication, your support of this Sangha. Like, subscribe, donations. Exceptionally proud of all of you. Donating your time, first of all, liking and subscribing to help us propagate this Sangha. And use all the resources. Your purchases, your donations. All we can do is grow and get better. Let me know your thoughts. Let me know what you think you need so that I can address those needs. The whole point of this resource is to support your dedicated practice. And for that, I'm more grateful than I can express. Thank you. Take care of your health. Keep your practice regular, strong. And I will see you in the next one. Bye for now.